He said, I wish you would have stayed in your lane. Hallelujah. Protocol has already been established, and I don't have much time, but I do want to say thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity, and each and every one of you. I'll say thank you to you later, but I know you didn't come to hear me. You came to hear the word. Now, I must say and apologize to those of you that were here on last night, because we've been given a task, and as my cousin Pearlie Mae was preaching, I was sitting there and I was saying, God, that was what you told me to preach. She preaching my message. But this morning, as I was talking to God, he had to remind me. He said, it's not your message, it's my message. And there's a reason why you have to preach it. Now, I must also apologize because I don't have any anecdotes about Reverend Armstrong. Not tonight. I'm not even going to tell you any stories about the vision. All I have is the word of God. And we're going to preach about Jesus. Is that all right? We know the text finds us in the 13th chapter of Romans. And here the Apostle Paul has greater emphasis being placed on the precepts that the apostle had taught in chapter 12. There are namely three themes that are vividly expressed that were not only pertinent to the teaching to the church in Rome, but I believe that it's pertinent to the teaching of the church today. Verses 1 through 6 provides us with lessons as to how we are to deal with those that are in authority over us. It is about the conduct that we as Christian believers should have towards those who have rule over us. We must understand that God has placed leaders in positions for a reason. And we are required to honor leadership, not only to avoid the wrath of the law, but as obedience and as a reverence to the laws of God. Verses 7 through 10 gives us a lesson of justice and love towards one another. It is about our personal interactions. The scriptures tell us that we must give honor, customs, and other tributes to whom those are due. Mm-hmm. And in verse 10, he points out love as the fulfillment of the law. The law of Christ is that we love one another, that we show love towards one another, and be the example of love for this entire world. For far too many believers will speak in tongues, but they won't speak to you. We're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to be what the world looks at. But are we really giving what I like to say bad PR to Jesus? If you really think about it, if you really analyze your life and you take a moment to look in the mirror, you might want to ask yourself the question, am I really being the example of Jesus Christ that I should be? Like the preacher said, the church is too silent. But the problem is, how can they listen to the church when you was at the club with them last night? Help me, Holy Ghost. They see you on the same street corners as they were, and you wasn't witnessing. We are supposed to be an example. The example. But what are we an example of? Some of the biggest haters can be found in the sanctuary. When we're supposed to be celebrating that which people are accomplishing. But no. What we do is we try to tear them down. We build up a story. Let me put this disclaimer in right here. For anybody who is here, the Bible says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I came to cut somebody tonight. But I promise to pat you back up with the word. I promise to do that. So he tells us how to treat everybody, to love. It's the fulfillment of the law. Which brings us to the text verses, which are found in verses 11 through 14. You've read the scripture. We've read it several nights. It is our theme scripture. And it begins with these words in the New King James Version that says, and do this. And do this. The problem with the church today is that we tend to listen. We tend to hear, but we don't want to do. We listen, we hear, but we don't do. Another issue in the church, I'm going to park right here just for a moment, is that the body of Christ has begun to place more emphasis on academics than on the anointing. Hear me. Now, I'm a teacher by trade, so I believe in lifelong learning. But your learning does not supersede the anointing of God. Because no matter how much degrees you have or how smart you might be, he said he gave those things that confound the wise. Your intellect cannot understand the things that the word has for you. And you can't think this thing through. It's a faith walk. You got to believe it and stand on it. Scientists talk about the Big Bang Theory. And before, I used to say, how is that even possible? I didn't believe in the Big Bang Theory. But then I began to read the Word. And you're probably saying, well, how does the Big Bang Theory have anything to do with the Word? Well, my Bible tells me that war broke out in heaven. And Jesus said that he saw an angel descending down. And if you fall all the way from heaven, there's a big bang. But we hear, but we don't do. He said, and do this, knowing the time. Knowing the time, now it's high time. I didn't know the Bible could get country and says high time. How many of y'all know about that? But he says it's high time. And what Paul is saying to us today really is that you and I must know that we really don't know. And because we don't know, we need to act like we know. But what are you talking about, preacher? Well, what he's really saying is where Jesus makes it plain in Mark chapter 13 in verse 32. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He concludes in verse 37 by saying, and what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. We have to live this life knowing that we do not know when Jesus Christ is to return. So therefore, we have to act like we know that at any given moment, it might be our last breath. So we should be found doing what God has told us to do. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. When you know, when you got ushers trying to tell the deacons what to do. When you got folks, the choir members trying to tell the greeters what to do. No, you got to stay in your lane. And everybody has been given an assignment. And the only way that the assignment is actually going to work in this collective, I go to the vision that the vision's going to come to pass, is that everybody do what their hands have been told to do. If you've been asked to pray, don't preach. And do this. There is something that we have to do. It's not good enough that we simply talk about things. We analyze things. We create flow charts of our life. Folks talk about getting loans. People talk a whole lot about losing weight, but how many times have you actually gotten up and gone to the gym? How many times have you pushed yourself away from the table? We talk talk about having faith, but when was the last time you stood on your faith? If I have $100 and I have a bill to pay, and the bill is only $95, I don't have to have faith to pay the bill because I've got it. But faith is about something that you do not see. You don't know where it's coming from, but you have it now. When you stand on that belief and do this, the way we live our lives, the way we treat others, the way we treat ourselves must be in a way that we are constantly reminded that every breath that we take could be our very last. The way we treat our neighbors in this community must be a reminder that it could be you. A lot of us drive in here. You might drive nice, you live nice, and begin to turn your nose up. I ain't scared. I'm telling you. But this is a level playing ground. Watch this. Your degree does not matter. Your financial status does not matter. We all need Jesus. This is the true place of the have and the have nots. And this is where we all need a savior. The young, the old. And in order to reach the next generation, we have to celebrate them when they're doing good. And then we have to cover them where they're not supposed to be. The problem with the church is that we tend to condemn them as if it's their fault. But don't allow the world to praise our children more than we do. And do this. We have about 70 young people that come here on Thursday nights and about another 70 that come in on Wednesday nights. 70. Last week I was sitting outside and I watched children right after school come in groups, in droves to try to get into the church. 3:45, 4 o'clock. Mind you, we don't even open the doors until 5:30. But they are hungry. They want to be in the presence of believers because this is a safe place. It's a safe place. But so many people want to rule, but they don't want to spend no time. And do this. It's time to wake up out of the sleep. And I'm sorry, my beloved, but the body of Christ has been sleeping for far too long. We can't blame the world for what's going on. We can actually look at the church. Let me correct something that I hear people say often. They did not take prayer out of schools. That's not true. Read it. Read the Constitution. They did not take prayer out of the schools. Now, we can't organize the prayers as teachers, but trust me, they still praying. Watch this. But if you would start praying at home and teach your children how to pray, then maybe they might go to the school and pray with some of their friends and begin to talk, and they could create a network and do this. There is something that we all must do. We have a responsibility as believers. The first, become the example and put our lives in order. But you can't be a positive example when your life is in disarray. We can't. Because guess what? They're looking at us. They're looking at you. And the children are going to mimic what they see you do. Why should I go to church when all you do is sit around and talk about the pastor when we home? can I have respect for him when you don't? I'm sorry. But you got to watch your conduct. We all have to watch our conduct. We have to watch our words. Why? We have to act like we know. Why? Because we do not know. We don't know. You don't know when Jesus is coming for you. So you got to act like he could come at any time. He can. Then you have to be confident. My conclusion, because my time has been up. I'm sorry. But he says, we all put this together. At the end, in the 14th verse, he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing on Oprah, Dr. Phil, Steve Harvey. There is no word for you there. But the word is inside this book. Right here. It's not simply a book for literary reading, although you can read it like that. But this is life. And you have to treat it as such. Because the power is in the word. And we've been speaking a whole lot of stuff over a whole lot of people, but has it been the word? Speak the word. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, we know there are things that we have to do for this body. Why? Because we're in it. But he's not talking about that. He's not talking about your needs. He's talking about those things you know you don't need. Going places you know you shouldn't go. Saying stuff, eating stuff, acting out, doing things. We are all guilty, even us as preachers. We're all guilty. And we all need a Savior. If we're to be a beacon in this community, if we're to be the example, if we are to see this vision 2020 come to pass, each and every one of us we have a duty to get our lives right with Christ and to start walking in what the man of God and the visionary of this place has given us and been charged us to do. I'm going to say this lastly, and I'm finished. I promise you I'm finished. There is only one vision in this house. Hear me. Any vision more than one vision is division. That's simple mathematics. Any more than one is division or division. How do you want to say it? There's only one visionary in this house. And we are all to line up under the vision of this house while you are here. Listen, if you don't like what's going on, if you don't like what's going on, first thing you need to do is be quiet and seek God. Second thing you might need to do is find someplace else to be. The problem is we come in here and we sugarcoat stuff for y'all. We pacify things, and that's not Bible. If you cannot follow the vision, then you need to go someplace else. Because nobody was forced to be a member here. Nobody. Unless God said, you have to be at this church. Well, then you really need to sit down and shut up. Because obviously there's something that God has for you through this man of God. God does all things well. And we must trust. We must trust him to be the God that who he is. And if we do that, we will see God fulfill the promises for not just the vision 2020, but even for your own household. Amen. Praise our God.